film I saw recently that when I watched this film, I went to see it with my eldest daughter, Rachel, and I thought, oh, for mothers, it's an amazing film. It's a lovely film. And there's this beautiful story of this little boy who's only 5. And you can see there in the film, it's a true story. And he gets on a train because he thinks his brother is on the train and ends up thousands of miles away from his home and just can't get back. And it's like every mother's worst nightmare, that you lost your child and this little boy is lost. And as he grows up and he's a student, it's like love tugs him back. And he has this beautiful adoptive mother, an Australian lady who cares for him. And he feels loved and secure. But he has these recollections keep flashing back to those early days with his mum. And he begins this like needle in a haystack search to find his way from Australia back to India. And here is a boy with two mothers, a birth mum and an adoptive mum. And the film is all about the power of love and the power of a mother's love in a child's life, whether that is the biological mother, a friend, an auntie, a carer, the adoptive mother. And like Nicole Kidman was saying there, that we all have opportunity to be a mother to one another. Now, Nicole Kidman in the film, she plays the adoptive mum. And next slide, please, Fee. And she says, it's a story about the power of mothers, biological or adoptive, and the need for a mother in each one of us, in the way in which we can all be a mother at different times. And there's this essence to mothering, if you could define it, about being loved. Because a mother loves their child, good days, bad days, naughty days, you know, not so naughty days. And mothering really is about the essential essence of being loved completely. And so for us as mums, really, that's as simple as it gets, to love our children. I want to encourage all the mums today. We're all different, and we all do things differently. Every home is different. The way we parent is different, and that's okay. Because we can all provide love and security and a sense of belonging to our child. It's not about the style. It's not about how we do it. It's just about providing the love. And over the years, we've worked with many families on various estates and projects where there's been a lot of dysfunction or pain. But every time I've worked with young people, you know, the only person they really want is their mother. So all different styles and types of mothering, want to encourage you, just keep going. There's a lot of pressure on mums, and it's a really tough job. And mums often question, am I doing it right? Is it going okay? I don't feel adequate for this. Or I feel guilty when patience runs out. And I would say there's no more pressured mother probably in the UK at the moment in one way than the Duchess of Cambridge. And she was interviewed this week. Now, this is a woman who lives in a goldfish bowl. You know, she has two toddlers and has to go to state functions and is being photographed by the entire world. And in an interview recently, just this week, actually on Thursday, she said, although I have help more than most mothers do, at the end of the day, it is me and my children. And she says, nothing can really prepare you for the sheer overwhelming experience of what it means to become a mother. It is full of complex emotions of joy and exhaustion, love and worry, all mixed together. And she talks about the pressure to be a perfect parent, pretending we're all coping perfectly and loving every minute of it. It's right to talk about motherhood as a wonderful thing, but we also need to talk about its stresses and strains. And so on Mother's Day, we don't want to gloss over. It is a wonderful, wonderful thing, but it is also a tough job. And mums, you need encouragement that you're doing all right. You're doing okay. Your kids just want your love. So just love them. And because love, everything flows out of love. When we love our child, we will protect them. When we love our child, we will bring guidelines. When we love our child, we will guide them. And so love will take care of everything. Love is a child's foundation to be able to face the world. When a child grows up being loved, it gives them a strong sense of identity and security. And Saru's Australian adoptive mother, Sue, she said in an interview, I knew that Saru had been a loved child because the way he could learn, the way he responded to us when we adopted him, And also, seeing how his love in the early years, it gave him confidence that helped him to survive alone on the streets of Kolkata. Now, this little boy, I mean, it's miraculous how he survived. And if you read his book, A Long Way Home, it's incredible that he survived. And she said it was the mark of being so loved as a small child. Although he desperately missed his mother, it gave him the confidence and the courage to survive on the streets until later he got adopted. So our love for our children creates a strong sense of security and identity to face the world. Hopefully not lost on a train in India, but to face their world in nursery, in school, and out at work when they're older. So some inspiration for us this morning. I thought I would pick a real mother recorded in the Bible who is human, real, like you and me, flawed and devoted. And that person is Mary, Jesus' mother. Now, God chose Mary to be Jesus' mother. And we know it was a divine conception and that she had a visitation from Gabriel. And we got asked the question, why Mary? Now, you talk about the Duchess of Cambridge in a goldfish bowl. Everything Mary did was written down for us all to see forever. And we see that Mary, why did God pick Mary? She was human like us. She made mistakes. She got it wrong. She lost Jesus, but she loved him and followed him to the end. We're going to look a little bit at Mary. Now, the young Mary was adventurous, devoted, and said yes to God. And we can see her response to Angel Gabriel. That when Gabriel came to her, it says in Luke 1, the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." Now, this like earth-shattering news, we see from Mary's response, she simply says this, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." So Gabriel came, brought her this like momentous task, and she said yes. And we see from that that she was adventurous, she was devoted to God, and she was up for the challenge, and she said yes. Also, why Mary? It was important that she was of the line of David and married to Joseph, but also it was important that she was young and fit and well, because she had to get on a donkey at 9 months pregnant and travel probably a week in a whole caravan of people all the way to give birth in a stable, and then later escape to Egypt. And so she was young and fit and healthy and serving God. But later, when motherhood arrives, the Bible records what happens as this young girl, up for the challenge, tries to nurture and mother the young Jesus. And this is the encouraging bit. So number one, firstly, she lost Jesus for 5 days. And that should be encouragement to all of us. It's just that horrible moment where you're out shopping and you're holding hands, you know, like when Sean's shopping, holding Sam's hand, and you turn for a moment and he's gone. And it's just that horrible feeling. Now Mary lost Jesus for 5 days. In Luke 2, it says this. It'd gone to the Passover festival in Jerusalem. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus had stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. So imagine now, they've gone to the feast, they've packed up, and there's a whole caravan, you know, it's not just Mary and Joseph, it's a whole caravan of people, relatives, friends, they're all going together, and they had assumed, you've got him, someone's got him, they assumed that somebody had. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a whole day. So they've left him behind in Jerusalem at the age of 12, and they've traveled for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. Have you got Jesus? Have you got Jesus? Have you seen Jesus? Anyone seen Jesus? This is a whole day later. Then they, when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem. So they've gone a day's journey. They've got a whole day's journey back now. So this is 2 days he's gone missing in the city. And after 3 days of searching, you imagine now, you have been commissioned to give birth and take care of the Savior of the world. And on his first big trip out, you lost him. So day one, you're panicked. Day two, by day five, you are frantic now. You had one job and he's gone. And then they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. What a nightmare. And so Mary, she is human just like you and me. She lost him. And then thankfully, he was in a safe place and all was fine. And another time, when Jesus started teaching and he got famous, there were crowds everywhere. Everywhere he went, there was huge crowds following him. And there's one occasion where there were so many crowds that Jesus and the disciples, they were in this house and they couldn't even eat for the crowds and the people there. And all this news got back to Mary. And she thought, this is crazy. He has gone mad. What is he doing? I mean, it's one thing sitting on a hill speaking to people, but now he can't even eat. This isn't right. He's not eating his dinner. I'm going to go and sort it out. She just thought he'd gone mad. And so she got her other sons. And it says, Mary and the brothers turn up at this house and send a message in to bring Jesus out, to bring him home. Because they thought he'd gone mad. In Mark 3, it says, Jesus had entered a house, and again the crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he's out of his mind. How wrong can you get? So here she is as a mum. You know, she's been told the future of Jesus. He's going to be the savior of the world. And yet at this crisis moment, she's more worried that he hasn't had his tea. There are crowds following. He's gone crazy. But she got it wrong. And it's recorded here in scripture for us. Hope you're encouraged already. We're not doing too bad as mums, are we? Then I love it at the wedding feast. Remember Jesus' first miracle. Now this is an example where she is such a mum. They're at the wedding feast, and Jesus has said to her, it's not my time to help. But she just totally ignores him. And so in John 2, it says this at the wedding at Cana, when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they've no more wine. And that look means everything. They have no more wine. It's a bit like the dishwasher needs filling. Like, I know kids hate that. They're like, just ask me, fill the dishwasher. Don't say the kitchen needs doing. Don't be vague. Just say, please do it. So here, Mary isn't saying, sort it out, but she just says, Jesus, they have no more wine, knowing he can do something about it. Now, obviously, he'd lived at home all these years, and, you know, it's not written down, but I wonder what she'd seen that she knew Jesus could sort it. So Jesus turns around and says, Mother, why do you involve me? My hour has not yet come. You know, I am the savior of the world. My hour has not yet come. It's not my time. And his mother just says to the servants, do whatever he tells you. And like forces the situation, makes Jesus do his first miracle. It's astonishing. Such a mother. Do you want more mashed potato? No, thanks, Mum. Here we go. You haven't eaten enough. So in Mary, we just see this real-life girl taking on a challenge, becoming a mum, being human, making mistakes, but loving her boy. And she was also faithful. Mary, however painful it was, she was there at the foot of the cross. And in John 19, it says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And she did not shy away, even at the last. Many people would have understood if she said, I can't face it, I can't make it, I can't do it, I can't do this. People would have understood, but no, she was faithful to her son. And she was there all the way to the end, however painful it was. I cannot imagine how it must break her heart to have seen her son on the cross. And after Jesus died, we know he went to, he came alive again, and then he came back and he spoke to all his followers and ate with them and talked with them, and then he went back to heaven. And when Jesus went back to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit. And he said, it's better that I go, so you have the Holy Spirit. And the believers didn't know what to expect, what this was going to be. But the Holy Spirit came in power, and there were a group of believers up in the upper room waiting for this. And it's highly possible that Mary was there among them. Because in Acts 1:14, it says this, after Jesus had gone back to heaven, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And then a few verses later, it says in Acts 2:2, and when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. So it's reasonable to assume it's this same group where they'd all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. So when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. What a journey for Mary. How incredible to be there at the cross, to see Jesus when he rose again, but to be there in the upper room when the Holy Spirit came. What an incredible journey of that young woman. So I want to suggest to mums this morning that we take her as our inspiration. She started with enthusiasm and she followed through to the end. She didn't give up. She didn't change tack, but she followed right the way through, all the way to the end. We see that she was not perfect. And she had the challenges of raising a boy who was. Now, you talk about mother's guilt. Did I, you know, was I too lenient there? Was I too strict? Should I have let her go to that? Should I have said no to this? Should I have done this? You know, we feel guilty all the time about our decisions. Well, Mary was raising a perfect child. So you imagine getting like cross and losing your patience, and Jesus is just patiently looking at you, and you just feel like so guilty and terrible that, oh, yeah, sorry, Jesus, I lost my temper again. What must it be like? I just cannot imagine. She is raising a perfect child. But God chose Mary in her imperfection. He chose her as a real woman, real flesh and blood, making mistakes. She loved Jesus. She had the joy. She had the heartache. And she was God's choice in her imperfection. So you and I can relax, because we're not raising the Savior of the world, but we just have, you know, a few little rugrats that we're doing our best with and raising them up. And if Mary was good enough for Jesus, we're doing all right. So I hope Mary's example sets you at ease. God doesn't expect perfection from us, but he does want us to pour out the love in our hearts to love our children on good days and bad days. And he is the resource for that when we come to an end of our own. So if we're going to learn from Mary, what was Mary's secret? Well, she loved God, and she was willing to go on a life adventure. She stayed faithful to her encounter as a young girl all the way through her life. So for us, that says to us, stay devoted to God. Now, sometimes when we're busy as mothers, we can prioritize the urgent, when actually Jesus just wants to fill our life with his resource. And that's what needs to come first to help us, to resource us, to put us at peace, to give us wisdom, to give us an answer. And so as we stay devoted to God, he will strengthen us for the task of motherhood. There are many, many times where I have just prayed for an answer when I'm really stuck to know what to do when raising my children. There are days when the noise at the tea table, when our children were young, we lived in a different house and it had big stone walls. And I would sometimes just leave the table, go around the corner into the utility room, and there was a particularly cold piece of wall, and I would just lean my forehead against it just to like, just calm down. You know, there's those moments. We're living in reality, raising little ones. But as we are devoted to God, he will help us and he will strengthen us. Don't let him be last on your list, but first. And also want to encourage you to walk in his purposes as a family, because there are things that God has for us as a family, because he has a future for your children and purposes for them. It's not just about us and our survival, but it's about them. And so any time you get a challenge or opportunity to do something as a family and take your children with you. I mean, when we were pioneering the church, Julian had to travel quite a bit sometimes. And when I was leading meetings, I sometimes remember leading meetings with Chloe on my hip. I mean, she was very small. It would be impossible now. I mean, we could try, but I don't think we will. And so, you know, there are times when just walking that journey with your children, they see the love that you have for God. And that is the greatest gift that you can give them, to see that God is real in your life. And as you follow Jesus, they will too. And then when they have that personal encounter with Jesus, that is what will help them live a life on the path that Jesus has for them, because they have their own encounter. They're not living on yours anymore, but on their own. And so as Mary stayed faithful, you and I need to stay faithful to our early challenge. She raised Jesus in this like loving environment that gave him security. And we need to do that for our children too. So I want to encourage you, live out your life with Jesus, with your children, that they will see it and that they will have that opportunity to make their own decision that will carry them through as well. Now, Saru was lost. And in the film, it's so tragic. I was crying in the cinema that this little boy is on a train that he can't get off. And he was separated. He was far away from all the love that he had known. And Jesus said, I came for the lost. What is lost? It's to be far away from the love of Jesus, Jesus said, I came to seek and to save the lost, anyone who's far away from his love. And in the same way that Saru's mother was longing every day to try and find him and went everywhere to the usual places but couldn't get him back because he was so thousands of miles away. Sometimes in our experience, we feel like we've traveled thousands of miles away from the love of Jesus, but it is never too far for him. And he is longing, just like Saru's mother, Jesus is longing to bring us back to experience his love. And maybe we've never experienced Jesus' love in all our life, and there is this tremendous love and peace and kindness and purpose where everything we've done wrong is forgiven. We come to Jesus and he gives us brand new life, and it's like we were far away, but he wants to bring us back. In fact, Jesus told a story about a boy who was lost, and he took his father's inheritance early and then disappeared, and the father didn't know where he was. But in Jesus' story, the father, who represents God, looks every day. Every day he goes out and he looks for his son, hoping that one day he might come back. And Jesus says, this is like the father. He just has this longing in his heart, looking every day with love, with this longing. And then one day the boy comes back and the father abandons everything and runs down the path to meet him, holding nothing back. And that is who God is. The minute we turn around, he comes running to us with his love. And God's love is like that of a mother and a father. He longs to gather what is lost, like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, or like a father longs for his lost boy. So mums, that is our role. Our role is to love in whatever shape that looks like for each of us. And with God's help, we can do that. So we need to stop worrying so much. Now, Mary stored up and treasured all these things in her heart along the journey with Jesus. And I want to encourage you to treasure it up along the way. Now, parenting is a task without end. It's a bit like housework, only a bit more serious. And it doesn't end, but it changes. And sometimes as mums, you can feel like you're getting nowhere. Every day is the same. But if you stand back and look at your child's development so far, you will see the investment that you have made and that it is worthwhile and it is shaping their life. Now, to finish off today, I thought I might give you some tips from an empty nester. Is that all right? Should I do that? I even didn't put a picture of an empty nest on the screen. I couldn't bear to. Now, my three children are grown up, and I just want you to come to the front a minute, you three, if you can just really quickly just come to the front. Yeah, definitely. Just stand there, it's fine. Right, you want to turn around, that's it. You have to hold hands with each other. Not really. I'm only kidding. Okay. Now, I want to say to you mums out there, when your kids are small, it feels like forever. It feels like it's never going to end. You're so tired. And then one day they all grown up and then they leave and your relationship changes. But I want to say to you three, you can turn around and look at me now for a minute, okay? But I'm really grateful. In the pioneering, and we went without, and we didn't always have food or have stuff or have trainers like the other kids. But I want to thank you for your journey and of putting up with me being, impatient or not getting it right or, doing gap funding all night. So I admire that you have found Jesus for yourself, that you've grown up to follow him. And I hope that it is encouragement to every parent here that I am an imperfect mother, made lots of mistakes, but I love these three. I've loved them. And they turned out all right. And I want to encourage you. None of us, there's no guarantees, but I am grateful for your love and care and your patience with me and also living in a goldfish bowl. But I want to encourage the parents. One day they'll be grown up like this. So keep going. Don't give up because it might turn out okay in the end. Thanks, you three. Okay. So it's nice to have them all here at the same time. So keep going, young mothers. Keep going with it. It's tiring. It's hard. But keep going. Invest. So I got 8 tips from an empty nester. I was thinking, when I was coming to the end of writing this talk, if I could go back and speak to my young self when I was raising the children, what would I say? So if this is any help, let's go for it. Okay. Number one. Now, this is going to sound like a contradiction. On the one hand, gradually let go, and on the other hand, don't let go too soon. Okay, these two things are right at the same time. Gradually let go, but don't let go too soon. So gradually let go. It's very important that children reach stages of independence. Not that we push them to be independent, but allow them as they grow, that we don't stifle them and hold them back. It does no favors to a child to keep them immature and overprotected. And we know in our generation, it's been documented about helicopter parenting, that children haven't learned to be independent, look after themselves, because mum or dad always swoop in and sort out the situation. And so when they become an adult, they can't stand on their own two feet without mum and dad. So I want to encourage you, give them age-appropriate tasks and let them go gradually, because eventually they do go, but it does help them if you let them go gradually. Don't hold them back and keep them immature or childish too long. And yet, on the other hand, I would say don't let go too soon. Sometimes when our children reach junior age, it seems all okay and they don't seem to need us so much. Then they become a teenager and they don't seem to want us around, but actually they do. They just don't want to let on that they do. And so it's important that we don't overcrowd them, but we're always there. They want to know that's not the time to become an absent parent. It's not over yet when they reach their teens. So don't let go too soon. They still need your guidance, they need your care, they need your friendship. By the way, when I'm going through these points now, if you're a teenager or a young person in the room, really tell your mum today how much they mean to you, because it's a tough job. And teenagers, make your mum's life a bit easier. You know, give some value to your mum, because they're doing the best they can. It's really hard. Okay, number two. Don't sweat the small stuff, because they won't remember. This is true. We were having a chat the other day around the tea table, and I was talking about when I used to do home baking, and every week I'd bake a, you see, look, they're laughing now. I would bake a chocolate cake or a vanilla sponge, and we were so poor, everything was homemade. They didn't believe me. They do, look, they're shaking, they do not believe that, so I need some friends to corroborate that that was true. So, you know, I was so into, like, you know, healthy eating, no orange juice, make sure this, make sure that. Do you know, they don't even remember. So don't sweat the small stuff, because when they're big like that, they don't even believe you. So do your best, but don't feel guilty when you don't get it all right. Okay, number three, be the mother. Now, this is important. You are their mother, not their school friend. Don't abdicate your authority to be liked. You are not your child's friend. You are their mother. They need you to be the mother to bring authority and guidance and not step down into the role of a friend, because they have plenty of friends at school. They need to be able to respect you, look up to you, learn from you. Don't abdicate that role. You're not their friend, you're the mother. Now, when they become grown-ups, friendship comes later, and it's a very precious thing. But children need a parent, not another buddy. Okay, number four. Walk by principle, however tired you are, and you will reap the reward later. I think we all know that feeling. Tired, just tired. However tired you are, have principles in place that you stick to. Don't go with the weather. They're allowed to do that today, but they're not tomorrow, because it brings confusion. But children need principles to keep them safe. They need them that one day when they grow up and leave you, your principles and the biblical principles you've raised them with still live in their life. And your voice is there. Poor kids. Your voice is still there, even after they've left. And the biblical principles, they need principle. However tired you are, don't give up. You will reap the reward later. Number five, make the most of it. Mary treasured up in her heart all the things that happened with Jesus. And it seems forever when they're small, but one day you will have a lion, you will sit in a quiet house. When I was writing this talk in the week, I was sitting in a very quiet house. Julian was working away in London, the children have all moved out, and I was sitting there thinking, I longed for this day, but now it is very quiet in this empty house by myself. So I know it seems hard, but treasure it up, because one day you'll have those other things, but this goes by so quickly. Number six, relax and enjoy more. I read a book recently that a friend recommended to me of, they'd worked in palliative care, and they'd done a study on, towards the end of people's lives, what people's wishes were if they could go back and live their life again. And they always said, I wish I wasn't so uptight. I wish I'd relax more. I wish I'd spent more time with my family. So relax and enjoy more. Anne Geddes, you know, the famous photographer who does like little children in flower pots and this famous one of a little tiny baby in a father's hand. She says, childhood is very fleeting. So photograph them as often as you can. Number 7, leave space for your kids. Try not to overcrowd your life that they become inconvenient. Don't add to your stress. Sometimes we add things into our life when we already have children, and it's our children who need us. And other things come and go. I remember when our kids were small and I had various ministry opportunities, and I knew ministry will wait, meetings will wait, but my children are only here for a short time. So avoid crowding your life in with other things during this season, because one day they won't be there anymore. So don't make your life harder by packing it with things that your children become an inconvenience rather than a joy. Number 8, walk a life with Jesus together. He has a purpose for your children, not just for us. So stay close and give yourself to his purposes as a family that will renew you, strengthen you, and provide a bond. Do it together. And lastly, number 8, tell them often, I love you. You can't say it enough. I love you. I love you. I don't love the naughty things you do, but I love you. I love you. Tell them that you love them. Now, Dev Patel, who played Saru, he said at the end of that interview, a lot of my friends who watch this film, the first thing they want to do is go and call their parents or their brothers or their sisters or their friends and just tell them they love them or give them a warm hug. So say it often that they're never in doubt. Tell them every day, I love you. Now we're going to close in a moment with a song. And Ed Sheeran's written this new song, How Would You Feel? And the song is about two young people who fall in love and start a lifetime journey of love. And the love is deepening and growing. But as we listen to this song, I'd like to invite you to think of it as a mother's love with a child. That journey from conception, then the baby's born and you see them, and that journey of a deepening relationship that we tell them we love them. And children, we would like to hear it back. But also with this song, I'd like you to think of it, of Jesus and his love for you. Because Jesus calls us to be with him. His love is overwhelming. And he calls us. And he says, I love you. I love you. I love you. Come back. Come close. No distance is too far. He calls us back. He wants to fill our life with his love. And he wants to hear us say, I love you too. So as we sing this song, the band can come up now. That's great. I want us to remember that he wants us to tell him that we love him. And he wants us to know his love. So just to round up, mothers, hope you have a good day today. No doubt you've probably had to organize your own day. But I want to encourage you, your role is so vital. You are raising the next generation. Give yourself a break. Don't be too hard on yourself. If Mary was good enough for Jesus, we're doing all right. I'm going to pray and then the band will finish for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for mothers. That is your invention and it expresses your heart. That Lord, you are both mother and father. That you bring your overwhelming love to us. You long to draw us close. I pray today, Lord, you will energize every mum. I pray that you'll put hope back. Lord, I pray for every mum here who feels, I started well, but now I am so tired. I pray, Lord, you bring your re-energizing strength that says, I know my course. Lord, I just want to be close to you and pour out that love to my children. Pray you bless every mother in the room here today. Lord, I pray for the rest of us as well as church family, that we can all be a mother to someone. I pray, Lord, that we will be a community that truly show love to one another, that every person can feel that sense of love and security and belonging. So, Lord, we thank you for your family. We thank you for your love. And, Lord, as we listen to this song now, we listen to it, Lord, with two ears. And one of them is to say, Lord, we thank you that you have got a journey of love for us. And we long to say, I love you back. Amen.